Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Welcome to all of you, and in case for a few who might not know, I'm Reverend Bridget. I'm the spiritual director here, and in case you haven't picked up on it, this is my second week here. So, before we get started, we have a couple things to celebrate. First is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, including those who are with their families right now. And thank you to all the great gifts that fathers bring into our lives, love and joy and fun and support. And I'll share with you that some of my absolute favorite childhood memories are fishing with my father. It was like we were two little kids because he just so loved fishing and he shared that joy with me. We'd get our lunches packed the night before so we could get up in the wee hours, what some might call the middle of the night, and get going and get to the lake to launch the boat at sunrise. And those are great memories. So thank you to my father. I still love being awake at sunrise, and I'm pretty sure it's because of him. And we also on Wednesday celebrate Juneteenth. Yeah. Emancipation Day or Freedom Day. June 19th commemorates that day in 1865 when those who were enslaved in Galveston, Texas finally found out that they had been freed 2 years earlier with the Emancipation Proclamation. And in honor of Juneteenth, I want to share with you a poem from Phyllis Wheatley. Phyllis was, at a very young age, kidnapped from her family in what we now call Senegal and the Gambia, enslaved by a family in Boston. She was taught how to read and write, but don't let that make you think that she wasn't enslaved. She was. And she became a great poet. And so I want to share with you an excerpt from her poem entitled, On Imagination. Imagination, who can sing thy force, or who describe the swiftness of thy course, soaring through air to find the bright abode, the imperial palace of the thundering God. We on the pinions can surpass the wind and leave the rolling universe behind. From star to star, the mental optics rove, measure the skies and range the realms above. There in one view we grasp the mighty whole, or with new worlds amaze the unbounded soul. So thank you, Phyllis. I discovered Centers for Spiritual Living in 2008 when a friend introduced me to Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. And on that first Sunday, there were a few things that I noticed right away, mainly what wasn't there. There was no crucifix, no cross. And instead, much like our beautiful interfaith symbols over here, in the sanctuary, there are large banners. Well, they're still there. These large, beautiful banners with many images of all the different faith traditions that bring us and reveal to us wisdom. I don't remember what the message was that day in 2008, but I remember what I didn't hear. I didn't hear judgment or hell or how we're all sinners. I didn't hear any of that begging some God out there somewhere that I never really quite knew where it was supposed to be, begging this God for forgiveness or for mercy. And I remember that I cried that first Sunday. And I cried, I think, every Sunday after that for at least a year. Cried a lot of Sundays throughout all my time there. And heck, I think I cried right up until the end of my time there. And they were tears of release, tears of relief, tears of being accepted for who I am, discovering what was most important for me, that I most needed to discover, that I wasn't broken like I thought I was. The love and the safety and the support that I found in that community that we find and teach in all of our centers utterly transformed me. I'm not even close to the same person I was in 2007. It didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of classes, workshops, meditation retreats, a lot of crying, as I mentioned. It took a lot of prayer and meditation. But I am here today in front of you, more me than I've ever been in my life, because of what we find in our communities, because of that safety and that warmth and that acceptance. And that is the power of community. Because when we find our community that resonates with us, we're able to remove all those layers of protection that we tend to put around ourselves. We're able to discover who we are. And really, we just like ourselves a lot more, right? Yeah. And that's what I want to talk about today, love and the power of community. We're in the midst of a three-part series, as Nadine mentioned, writing a new chapter. Last week, we looked at faith and how God's got this, how God's got us as Portland Center for Spiritual Living. Next week, we'll look at devotion and responsible stewardship. And today, it's about love and the power of community. Now, this writing a new chapter and taking some inspiration from actual writers who many times, when they're embarking on a new writing project, a grand vision they have of something that wants to come through them, they'll participate in writer workshops. I have a friend in Denver who's writing a book right now about grief and companioning people as they go through grief. And he's always telling me about his writer workshop and how much support he finds there, how much it helps him because he's able to take his draft works and get non-judgmental and helpful feedback. How there's understanding in that community because everybody there knows how difficult it is to write. And how he finds acceptance there and accountability. So we, Portland Center for Spiritual Living, as we embark on our new chapter, we also need community. And that's what I'm talking about today. Community backed by love. And when I say love, I'm not talking about romantic love, which is good and great and juicy, and it feels really good, and I'm all for it, so get that in your life. The love I'm talking about today is that love that is the universe, that love that brought us forth in the first place, that love that is so in us and a part of us that we can't destroy it, that love that some people call agape love. That's the love I'm talking about today. And our founder, Ernest Holmes, when speaking about this kind of love, he wrote, "Love is the central flame of the universe, nigh the very fire itself. The essence of love, while elusive, pervades everything, fires the heart, stimulates the emotions, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit." And you know, when our great mystics and teachers throughout the ages stumble or discover one of those great truths, they tend to use the same language. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin wrote about love, "Someday, after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness the energies of love. Then, for the second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire." That's how transformative love is. And that's the love I'm talking about. And when I talk about community today, I want to be clear also what I mean in that word. I'm not talking about community, a group of individuals who come together to play games or talk about their day or share a meal. All fantastic, some of my favorite things to do, and we're doing that here. In fact, we're doing it on July 14th. And I'm talking about community that is more than that, that is even higher than that. I'm talking about community that's like a great painting, where each member is a brushstroke, different in size and color and texture, even movement. Or a community that's like a great symphony where each one of us is a different instrument with our unique sound and pitch and tone. But together, it's greater than the sum of its parts. I'm not talking about a community that looks like this, a bunch of individuals coming together. I'm talking about a community that looks like this, that is interwoven together and shares a common purpose, a common goal, a common vision. That's what this community is. And that's what we want more of, that great painting, that great symphony, people coming together and working together to create something more than what we can create on our own. And as we write this next chapter as Portland Center for Spiritual Living, this kind of community is powerful and serves us in several ways. First and perhaps foremost, we need this kind of community to reveal that grand vision. What exactly is it that we're going to write in this next chapter? Now, individually, we all have ideas. We all have access to that one creative mind because, you know, it's our mind, right? But no one person has access to all of it, which is why we vision in groups. Visioning is always done in groups. We can have visions at home, and we can listen to that inner voice that lets us know what is right for our life and where to go with our lives and our talents. But for the community, we need the group wisdom, the group vision. And what's magical about that when we do it in a group is we may start with all these ideas and we have individual visions, but then there's some kind of synergy that happens where we start feeding off each other and it just grows and grows and grows until somehow we end up with this grand vision that is much higher and more complete and fuller than anything any one of us could have done alone. In fact, I imagine many people in this room or listening to us online have been part of visioning or brainstorming where you kind of sit back in the end and go, man, that's really good. Like, How do we get there from there? And that's what we need as a community to lead us into and guide us into this next chapter. Another way that powerful spiritual community supports writing this next chapter is in the sacred space that it creates. Sacred space that creates a container in which we can do our holy work, our sacred work, individually and collectively, that keeps us spiritually fed and makes sure that we're here for those who are still on their way. That's the sacred container. Now, this community, you weren't founded yesterday. As I mentioned last week, this community has been around for 51 years. There's a long history here, and you're all very good and very practiced at creating sacred space. We're doing it right now. And I want to encourage us and remind us that we need to keep doing this for our own sake and for the sake of everyone that's going to join us, right? To keep us strong and fed and to be here for others. We create the sacred space in many ways. We create it with our values, where we welcome everyone, no matter their background, spiritually, religiously, where everyone is welcome, no matter what the mistakes they might have made in the past, or no matter what's been done to them. That's our core value. All are welcome here. We create sacred space with our teaching, or what you might call theology, but I would call it theology light. And I say theology light because we're not dogmatic, right? We don't have a whole bunch of rigid rules. You must follow all of these rules to join us. No, we don't do that. But our main teaching, our main theology, is knowing that all of creation, including all humans, come from the one life. That means every single person is divine in nature. We know that. It also means that there's no separation between any of us. All this empty space that gives us the illusion of separation is just unformed divine substance. We're as much connected to each other as we are some galaxy we don't even know about. There's no separation between us and the divine, between us and spirit, or between each of us. We also teach and know that every human being is perfect just the way they are and made. We don't need to or have the right to fix anybody because they don't need fixing. Right? We create sacred space by those practices and those things we do every Sunday or every time we come together. We have music that opens our hearts and expands our hearts so we are better able to receive. We have people who welcome, literally welcome, people at our physical and virtual doors. These are the practices that help us create this sacred space. And all of this, when we do all of this, what we're doing is we're creating like this really warm, fuzzy nest that all of us get to sit in and bask in and grow in and heal in. And this space is, again, much like visioning and wisdom, is more than we can create on our own. Now, individually, many of us, including myself, we have our individual meditation and prayer practice. It's lovely. Can't imagine my life without it. Again, much like the love and playing games together and eating together, I encourage that, absolutely. And there's something about doing it in a group. How many here have been to meditation retreats? I see a lot. Yay, I see a lot of hands. I imagine all of you who have participated in meditation retreats have had the same experience I have. I can go deeper, faster when I'm in a group. I love meditating on my own, and I really love doing it in a group. Because much like visioning, there's something about all that energy that just creates this field. And I think it's because we feel safe. We know that everybody at a meditation retreat is there for the same purpose, to listen to and commune with the divine within. And again, we're not there to be angry or to vent our anger. We're not there to convince anybody of the superiority of our opinions. We're not there to work, make money, be busy, or at least I hope we're not, right? We're there for the same purpose, and we know that, and it feels good, and it feels safe. The same is true here, anytime we gather. Everybody that's here, physically or joining us online, is here on purpose. I'm pretty sure none of you were forced to be here. If you were, raise your hand. Good, I see no hands risen. All right, that's a good thing, so we can move on. And much like a meditation retreat, we know that everybody comes to a space like this for the same purpose. To feel, receive, embody, and then to share the peace and the love and the joy, right? So that's what we need more of, and we need to continue. And all of this creates that space where we can do our healing work. We can do our forgiveness work. And believe me, I did a lot of forgiveness work. I'm still doing some forgiveness work. And all of that, as we heal and as we grow, what we're really about is reminding everybody of their divine nature, the ground of our being. It is the ground of our being. And that is the root of all other knowing. And that's what we need to stay strong in. And that's what we need to keep doing for everyone that will join us soon. And this leads us to belonging. Because in a community like this, we know we belong. Again, our founder Ernest Holmes wrote about belonging. You belong to the universe in which you live. You are one with the creative genius back of this vast array of ceaseless motion, this original flow of life. You are as much a part of it as the sun, the earth, and the air. And much like when I spoke about love, again, when we're tapping into great truth, there seems to be similar language. Brother Jean Vanier, when writing about spiritual community, wrote, "The longer we journey on the road of healing and wholeness, the more the sense of belonging grows and deepens. The sense is not just one of belonging to others and to a community. It is a sense of belonging to the universe, to the earth, to the air, to the water, to everything that lives, and to all humanity." When we have this kind of community and sense of belonging, we know that we belong everywhere. We choose where to be. There's a difference. So we need this kind of spiritual community grounded in love and powerful to take us into this next chapter, because we need that group visioning and wisdom to guide us. We need safety and support to keep us spiritually fed, to keep us strong individually and in the collective. We need spiritual community that's grounded in love so we can stay strong. And we know that we have this container in which to grow and heal in. And by the way, how do we support each other when we want to stay strong, need to stay strong? We do it in a lot of ways, right? We do it because we can lean on each other or borrow from each other when we feel our own strength kind of slacking a little bit. when we feel like our own faith might be waning a little bit, right? We can lean on each other. When one can't give, others can give more. When one is feeling a little weak, others can pick up more of the load. When we've lost our faith, we can borrow somebody else's faith. And this is what our practitioners are very good at and trained at and do for us. They're the ones that we can lean on and borrow from when we've lost our own sense of wholeness or faith, or we forget who we are. They're there to lift us up. You know, Reverend Dr. Raz Smith says that addiction happens in isolation, but recovery happens in community. And I think, yeah, absolutely. I think that's true for all healing and for all growth. We do it in our ceremonies, such as memorial services and weddings and rites of passage, when we come together to share our great joys and our great sorrows. We remember that we're not alone. We bear witness for each other, and we hold each other up. That's what we need more of in spiritual community as we write this next chapter, knowing that we're never alone and we don't have to do it alone. The world needs Portland Center for Spiritual Living to write this next chapter. Remember, our vision is a world that works for everyone. Our founder, Ernest Holm, at the end of a Sylmar conference in 1959, in his famous Sermon by the Sea, said this: "There is a law that backs up the vision, and the law is immutable. There is a power transcendent beyond our needs, our little wants. Find 1,000 people who know that and use it, and the world will no longer be famished. How important it is that each one of us, in his simple way, shall live from God, to God, with God, in God, and to each other. We are not 1,000 yet, but we are many, and we are loving, and we are strong, and we make a difference." This past Monday, when I came in, kind of my first day in the office, so to speak, there were 3 handwritten letters on my desk from 3 different men incarcerated in different prisons, in different states. And all 3 of them shared how they had found Portland Center for Spiritual Living through the audio podcast. All 3 of them are looking for more connection, more information. And all 3 of them shared how what they found in this community is acceptance, non-judgment, love, encouragement, and resonance, because it resonates with what they already know about themselves, but maybe we're afraid that other people didn't see it. But we see it. We know it. And this is the power of community, a community grounded in love, a community that sees the divine in everybody, a community that knows that love is the central flame of the universe. And to those 3 gentlemen, I say, we can't see you, but we hear you, and we love you, and I love you, and you are part of us. And thank you for being part of Portland Center for Spiritual Living and being part of our next chapter. Thank you. All right, we'll move into prayer now, and I'll ask our musicians. I forgot to ask our musicians if it's possible if I could get a little melody. If not, that's okay. Okay, I'm getting a thumbs up. Thank you. So I invite you to take a deep breath, and I invite our practitioner prayer partners to stand and hold this prayer in their consciousness, in their hearts, for our beloved Portland Center for Spiritual Living. this breath, I invite everyone within the sound of my voice to remember that they are never alone. It's impossible to be alone because we are part of the one life, part of that love that brought us forth from its love, to express its love, and because it has need of us. And I stand in the truth of that for every single person. That one life brought you forth because it has need of you. And I stand in knowing and I stand in gratitude for what this Portland Center for Spiritual Living is birthing together as a community, like a great symphony or a great painting, a great novel. And we write our next chapter together, anchored in love, in mutual support and understanding, acceptance, for one grand high vision. And I give thanks for that. Give thanks for every single person who contributes to this community so that we can birth that next chapter together. In gratitude and faith and knowing that it is already done in the one heart and mind of that one spirit, I simply release and let it go and let it be. And so it is. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.